Hello, and welcome to another edition of InfraLogic's Crossroads Podcast. I'm your host, Gene Gilligan. My guest today is Andres Sacristan, CEO of Cintra, a ferrovial company. Andres leads the company's $11 billion investment portfolio of five managed lanes projects in Texas, Virginia, and North Carolina. Today, Andres will talk about what is needed to make these managed lanes projects successful and what the prospect is for continued managed lanes development in the U.S. Welcome, Andres, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim, for having me here in this podcast.
First question I have, when you speak to State Department of Transportation officials, what is your argument for instituting managed lanes projects? What are the benefits of these projects?
Well, managed lanes is a solution. Basically, the DOTs of different states may have problems with traffic congestion, and they don't have infinite resources. Mm-hmm. They don't have the space in the corridors to build limited number of lanes. They don't have the budget for doing so.
Sure.
So the managed lane solution solves both problems. They create this additional capacity, and they create this additional capacity with P3 procurement, which is private investment. This is the very bare-bone ingredients of our solution. But at the end, what we provide with this additional capacity is a solution to the communities we serve. They enable their lifestyle. They can go to their place in a reliable time, in a safer way. So that's what we try to convince the DOTs and try to make it possible when many others has told them that it was impossible to solve or to increase capacity or to reduce their travel times. We come with this solution integrated, both from the engineering side and from the financial side. That's what we try to propose and what we try to make this happen. And so far, we created some market in the U.S.
What do managed lanes need from an operations and maintenance perspective to keep them operating well?
Well, managed lane is a product at the end of the day to the users. What we promise then is a value proposition that has three legs, let's say. One is time saving, so it needs to be free flowing all the day, no matter the time of the day or the conditions, weather conditions. Secondly, is reliability. You don't need to prepare for these 10 minutes, 20 minutes ahead of the time of your appointment just in case. You know that the time it takes you to get there is going to be the same every day at any condition. And finally, we offer a better safety record in our corridors. Our corridors are, in average, around 40% safer than the rest of the corridors in the area. So all this value proposition is what we really offer to the users. Once the user notices that and keep using the managed lane, and we keep growing in the number of users, the community is happy and the DOT is happy with the solution. So operating is just to keep the road super well maintained, keep the traffic flowing, and that's the two main drivers of the product quality we offer.
How have your U.S. managed lanes been performing?
Well, they've been performing quite well. I mean, we had, like everybody else, a huge bump during 2020 due to the pandemic. But since then, they rebound back 60% over that level. And now we're growing, as I said before, in a number of users, traffic levels year over year. Every year, we just finished 2024 with good numbers. We will make them public shortly. They're performing well because they are based on a quality product. As I said before, we enable people's lives. Also, users are super clever, so they are not using managed lane every day. They understand which is the trip for them, which is important, and which is the day that they need to use them. And the vast majority of our users uses the managed lane 3 to 5 times a month. They are not every day twice or three times. There are some of them that they do, but the vast majority, they are not that regular. And it's because they see the value on certain trips that are important for them because they go to a baseball practice with the kids and medical appointment, and other trips that are not that important for them, so they don't choose the managed lane. So I think that that's a great solution to provide that quality service, and the users are super smart in choosing when to use them.
And you say you've seen a surge in the use of managed lanes post-pandemic.
Yes, general mobility went back. Some of the traffic congestion started to rise. 2021 still not, but 2022, 2023, and for sure 2024 is back to normal and on over pre-pandemic levels. And users are appreciating that quality and that reliability, and that they're using them every other day. So we grow in all the corridors, and I think that the value proposition is super good for the users and is growing. The value of time with economic growth, population growth, congestion and growth around our projects is growing every year as well. So that's because the usage is also growing.
Tennessee recently launched a procurement for its first managed lanes P3, and we've seen managed lanes development in southern and mid-Atlantic states such as Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia. Do you think we'll see development of managed lanes projects in other regions of the U.S.?
I think so. We work for that to happen. And I think that our business development team for sure is focused on these opportunities you mentioned, but also is focused on making proposals to other states to the traffic congestion problems. And the two main things we find when we start conversations with DOTs is for sure a traffic congestion problem existing or about to happen, and also areas with a high potential for economic growth and population growth. These are the problems that the states needs to tackle, and we try to propose solutions and solutions that with other thinking or widening lanes or more traditional infrastructure solutions, they were not physical space. We came with our engineering colleagues from construction, and we propose innovative solutions that fit in the corridors, fit in the right of way the states has for that project, and we made that happen.
Very good. We're seeing so much talk these days about new types of transportation, autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles. What are managed lanes developers doing to make their projects adaptable to this new transportation technology?
Innovation is a constant on Ferrovial and in Cintra, and we will be trying to bring that quality in terms of the product I mentioned before. And the quality and that reliability came before with having a pricing algorithm that prices the managed lane usage every 5 minutes. So we adapt to the conditions of the traffic. And now with this new wave of vehicles, autonomous vehicles that are coming, we also put in the market a product called IVIA that basically put and deploy sensors along the road so we can have a dialogue with those autonomous vehicles to understand the conditions of the traffic, incidents on the road, what could happen if there is any object or any accident or anything. We can communicate with those autonomous vehicles in advance to give them signal that the hazard is ahead of them. So all these projects is orchestrated in our control rooms. We made a test. We made a trial in our I-66 project in Virginia. We have demo room that many people visited from the US DOT to many, many other states' DOTs. And when the fleet of autonomous vehicles will be there ready for that handshake with the infrastructure, we are ready, basically.
Very good. We're certainly hearing more about this. And I think you're optimistic about managed lanes development in the US. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm optimistic because I think that many cities are growing. Population is moving to cities. Cities needs to provide infrastructure to that growth. And we are here to help, basically, to be part of the solution.
Great. Very good. Well, Andres, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It was really educational, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk about managed lanes with us. It's something we've been following pretty closely at InfraLogic, and I'm sure we'll continue to.
Thank you, Jim, for having me here. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads.